gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Carbonite is going to be delighted today.
Why is that?
Because the show is brought to you by Carbonite today, and the show includes Representative Loretta Sanchez, Charlie Pierce, Ariane Huffington, and Paul Thompson.
Holy cow.
This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today, right now. Use my offer code Stephanie for that 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. And I haven't even told Carbonite about, you know, Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan years and senior fellow with the Center for American Progress. Lawrence Korb joins us now. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you? I'm pleased to be on with all those distinguished people there.
Yeah.
Listen, it's an extravaganza this morning. So, Larry, we love to talk to you, obviously, about security stuff and things like that. And yesterday, we sort of were joking about we're on a heightened terror alert, because I think everybody remembers the color-coded system, and we never knew what that meant. You know what I mean? Like, yellow was like, what, bring chapstick? Like, we weren't sure. So let's talk about this. I mean, what was it? It was a terror alert. How frightened should American travelers be? The State Department basically said that the alert is on the potential for terrorist attacks in Europe. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is you ought to be more aware than usual. Now, the Europeans have a much more balanced approach than we do. I can remember, going to France in 2005 and the French foreign minister saying, you guys got to grow up. Terrorism, is a fact of life. People do use these horrible, things to achieve political
right.
objectives.
That's the point, is to terrorize, right?
Right. But what I think this time, what they said is, they had pretty good intelligence that there were, folks, a lot of times European citizens who went to Pakistan, like the Germans who were killed, yesterday in the drone attacks, that were going there and they were going, going to come back. So, be careful, in terms of, the places you go and things like that. But it didn't mean, stop living the way that, the way that you should.
Well, right, Larry, I mean, that's the thing I think that all of us that, went through the Bush years feeling like, they really kept using fear as a weapon, to keep people sort of on edge. And then so you think, is this, should we be worried? Is it serious, or is the threat, less than the headline suggests?
Well, I think, basically it is less than, sometimes people portray it. You probably saw how Obama got beat up last week when Bob Woodward's book came out, and he was trying to say this thing. He said, we can absorb, an attack. And they said, oh,
which is exactly what Dick Cheney said.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But, we need to go out, and be more aggressive. No, I think just daily life is dangerous, and I think right. you have to put it into context. And, if in fact you overreact, they won. They don't have to attack you. They've already disrupted your lives.
What, did you happen to read Ted Koppel's piece? That was pretty amazing on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, that we've done way more to ourselves than Bin Laden could even have ever imagined.
Oh yeah, I think he put it very, very, very well that, we've overreacted. I mean, particularly going into Iraq, there was no evidence of Al-Qaeda,
right.
and things like that. And if you look at that, the direct cost of that war about $1 trillion, the indirect cost by the time everything is paid, including taking care of the men and women who've been wounded physically and mentally, you're talking about $6 trillion.
That's right.
Much more than, that attack on 9/11
yeah,
cost.
Yeah, pretty soon you're talking real money.
Yeah.
Larry, now speaking of going into Iraq, this latest terror alert, what are the supposed targets? Because I saw something that said maybe Britain, Denmark, France, Germany. That reminds me of Rumsfeld going, we know where the weapons are. They're down in this area around here, up here, and down here. it's like some local weatherman. Like, is there some, how real or imminent is the threat? What are the targets?
Well, I think they were, you got to remember, since September 11th, there have been attacks in Europe. You've had in London, for example.
Right.
And so I think what they were saying is, this will be the, this is where they're planning to do it, because you have a there's a lot lot of people who are Europeans travel back and forth, you know, to Pakistan and Afghanistan. And remember, see, people forget. They talk about the attacks of 9/11, where they came from, and Afghanistan. Those folks were, you know, were meeting in Hamburg in Germany. I mean, that's where they plotted this thing. So I think that's what, you know, you have to be, you know, be careful of. And I think what they're trying to do, their strategy now, is because, you know, given, you know, the sensible measures we put in since 9/11, that what they're trying to do is get America's allies so they won't, for example, support us in Afghanistan. All those countries that are targeted are with us right now in Afghanistan.
Right. What is up with Bin Laden? Is he trying to get like Andy Rooney's spot, or what's happening with the? He's gotten very newsy and chatty in his latest.
Well, I think you know, two things. One is we forgot about him, and this bothers him because, you know, mm-hmm. if we haven't been, you know, focused on him, he wants to show he's still relevant. And then again, you know, his latest thing is talked about, well, we, you know, want to give more aid to Pakistan, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, the interesting thing is he understands that's how we improve our image in the Arab and Muslim world, is things like helping the flood victims in Pakistan. Well, in Indonesia, when we helped after that tsunami, American approval skyrocketed there.
Yeah, well, in case people don't know, it was an odd call for compassion from a terrorist who's proudly claimed responsibility for mass murder. He, the two new audio recordings, right, urging help for victims of floods, he said, were produced by climate change, which, you know, in right-wing world, they're going to immediately say, oh, well, see, they're liberal talking points that he was, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and again, you know, by climate change, he's blaming the industrial West, you see, for, you know, despoiling the climate around the world. So from his point of view, it's a, you know, very, very clever thing, but I think the way to deal with it is just not overreact to it, and that will accomplish our objectives.
Yeah, it is amazing. One terrorism expert was saying after 9/11, he came to see himself as a world leader. Apparently these recordings were accompanied by video images of disasters and a smiling portrait of Bin Laden. What is he doing? I mean, what is that? It's like a campaign ad.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the problem because, again, particularly since President Obama came in and stepped up the drone attacks in the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, we have really disrupted, if you will, Al-Qaeda Central. And because of that, he no longer has the influence that he once had, because a lot of the people he used to train and he can't do that anymore and provide funds. So he's trying to say, hey, I'm still there, because a lot of groups have just kind of, they get inspiration from mm-hmm. him, but they don't deal with him.
Well, wherever whatever cave he's in, it apparently has the Google News alerts, because a lot of these things he's been putting out, they obviously are pegged to current events, correct?
Oh, yeah. There's no, well, with communications the way they are these days, yeah, with, you know, Blackberries and
yes,
you know,
he has the 3G iPad. Yeah. I have the regular one. but, you know, I know that General Petraeus said the other day that, you know, capturing or killing him is still an important task. My conspiratorial co-host, who isn't here yet, he would say, of course, that, it's because he's dead. Obviously, you know, there is a lot of talk about that, is why are they all audio recordings and not video? Are we sure it's him and all that?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, symbolically, it would be very important. But remember, in Iraq, when we captured Saddam, and, you know, Jerry Bremer said, you know, we've got him, and everybody said, oh, well, things, you know, I mean, he was not the problem. And it's the same way. Yeah, Bin Laden is the leader, but he's not the problem. There are a lot of people in the Muslim world who have a lot of grievances toward toward the West.
Right. Well, you know, have we thought of looking in that same spider hole? Because you probably would think we never think to look in the exact same place.
Okay,
when we found Saddam, I'm just saying.
Saddam was.
You know, well, I mean, and again, as I say, Larry, you hear a lot of people do speculate, is he really alive? Is he just a boogeyman? Are these audio recordings? I mean, why do you think he's choosing audio instead of video?
Well, I think part of the problem is it's a little, you know, technologically a little more, it's difficult to do video and, you know, to get it out. And as I say, the interesting thing with, President Obama, that we've been very aggressive, you know, and bombing that part of the world. So it is much more difficult to do that. The other thing is the Pakistanis, they, you know, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda kind of overstepped their boundaries in Pakistan, and while they're not going after them to the extent that we want, they no longer, you know, tolerate them the same way.
Mm-hmm. Why can't we find him before you go? Where, I mean, with all of our intelligence, why has it, are we, you know, at the point, how many years later?
I think the reason is that, you know, there's sort of, the custom is that you know, don't turn in your colleagues. And don't forget, he was in, you know, Afghanistan, you know, working there quite a while before, you know, the attacks of 9/11. So, I, my personal view is, yeah, it'd be good if you got him, but let's not focus on that. You have more important things to do, like, you know, working with President Karzai and getting him to, you know, shape up. And, you know, getting the Pakistanis to, you know, work with us. Those are, you know, the key issues. Because even if you get them, you haven't eliminated the problem.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Larry Korb from the Center for American Progress. Always a pleasure checking in with you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Larry Korb. Listen, he's right about that. The whole audio is a lot easier. You know, I'm doing my It Gets Better video today for Dan Savage.
Yes, you are.
For the YouTube interweb things.
Yeah. Yes.
And they asked me, did you see that? You saw that email? Can you just send us a videotape? And I'm literally, it's like I'm Bin Laden. I'm like in a cave. I was like, video? How would I do that?
On your computer.
We're an audio operation here.
On your computer.
So they're sending someone with a camera to do my thing today.
You can just sit in front of your computer. Your computer has a webcam on it.
Oh, is that the thing that Jim covers with a Band-Aid because he's paranoid?
Yes.
Oh.
You can do it just like that.
How do you know that?
Because
Because
I also have an iMac.
Oh, I wouldn't know how to do it, though.
There's something. Oh, boy.
Okay.
There's something called photo booth on the Mac.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, did you see Larry King last night? Yay for all of our good friends. The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, was on. Wanda Sykes, Kathy Griffin, they were doing all this stuff about the gay kids committing suicide. It was a great show. Lots of links up to Trevor Project that you can find on StephanieMiller.com as well. Glisten, lots of great groups out there helping. What a great show. Hello. I almost forgave Larry for not showing up at my party this weekend.
Have you had a talk with him about that?
I have not, but I will.
Okay.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on! You gotta admit, this is cool!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Loretta Sanchez coming up in just a couple of minutes. All right, we were just talking to Larry Korb about the latest terror alert. P.J. Crowley from the State Department, yes?
We are following multiple streams of threat information, and we felt having tracked intelligence over a lengthy period of time, it was appropriate to issue this alert at this moment.
And I think I confirmed my suspicion. It does mean don't forget the chapstick. That's what this level of alert means.
It's just very vague.
A little bit. That's what I mean. It's in general areas. When you mention several countries, it's a little like, oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of, but you know what? Our conspiratorial friend Jim Ward was not here because he would say that Bin Laden is muerta.
I think he's muerto.
Yes.
Not muerta.
Whatever.
Then he'd be a chick. And I don't think he'd appreciate that.
Speaking of conspiracies, have you heard Bat Crazy Christine O'Donnell's latest? Can I have my sausage music, please? Here's a new one I was not aware of. Thank God for her. Apparently China is preparing to take over the United States.
Well, for all intents and purposes, they can. Because
All they got to do is call in the IOUs.
Right.
But I think she means more in like a, you know.
A war kind of way.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bombs.
In 2006, Republican state Senate nominee Christine O'Donnell of Delaware said in a debate that China was plotting to take over America and claimed to have classified information about the country that she couldn't divulge.
How would she have...
Well, because she's Christine O'Donnell. She knows stuff you don't know. Like that mice have fully functioning human brains and you can physically see a monkey. You could see them evolving if evolution were actually happening.
Mm.
She said China had, quote, a carefully thought out and strategic plan to take over America and accused one opponent of appeasement for suggesting that the two countries were economically dependent and should find a way to be allies. That's crazy. She said that doesn't work. There's much I want to say.
Oh, God.
She's so entertainingly crazy. I wish I wasn't. And, you know, she wishes she wasn't. I wish I wasn't privy to some of the classified information that I am privy to.
She needs to explain
as
how
a homeless,
she is...
jobless, yes, non-masturbator. She needs to explain how she would somehow be privy to classified information that no one else is. Oh, I know why.
What?
I got it. Because God told her.
Oh.
She heard the audible voice of God during the primary, and also God wants her to filibuster. Something.
Or she read it on the internet.
Something. God won't let her get out of the race because she needs to... Something. That's how. She obviously, if you're hearing the audible voice of God, that's where you would be privy to classified information.
Mm. Or she's crazy.
Christine, there's something else I gotta tell you. I don't know if God sounds like that. I'm just saying. She said, we have to look at our history and realize if they pretend to be our friend, it's because they've got something up their sleeve.
I think God sounds more like Ernest Borgnine.
I do, too. I do, too. We should ask, you know what? Did anyone ask Sharon Engel? What does he sound like?
More Morgan Freeman or more Ernest Borgnine?
Yeah.
That's what
accent?
I want to know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Does he have, you know, an Aramaic accent?
And does he say psst first? Like, how does she know? You know, is it just...
Or does he say yo?
How does she differentiate that from the other voices in her head, for instance? How does she know when it's the big guy? You know what I'm saying? Is there like some little, is there a thunderclap? Is there just, or just a little psst? Christine, you know.
Yo, these Christine.
Are, yeah, is there a yo?
I think God
How
would use
God
yo.
How does God get your attention?
I think God would use yo.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
God is originally from Brooklyn.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's, speaking of bat Tea Party candidates, Sharon Engel. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. She's been caught on tape. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, and don't you love the storyline? The Democrats are in disarray. This is hilarious. So this is another teabag guy that taped her.
Yeah. I tried to get the audio of the tape, but the audio was so bad that...
So she's running on the whole, she's not let's make a deal Harry Reid. And that's her trying to make a deal with this guy to get out of the race in the back room there, making a back room deal.
Hmm.
She admitted that she recorded this guy, Scott, what's his name? That he secretly recorded a conversation with Sharon Engel in which he asked him to get out of the race and that he leaked the tape. She asked him to step aside so she would have a clear shot to defeat Harry Reid.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Ashcan?
Ashcan?
I don't know. Ashcan? I don't know. He was almost Ashcan by the actual Tea Party that nominated him. It's some Tea Party faction that's sort of more shadowy than hers even. It's sort of, they're getting, it's a little mobby, isn't it, the Tea Party?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Ashcan told Politico he secretly recorded his meeting to give people the truth in case she tried to lie about what happened during their encounter. Oh, we'll talk about some of the things that she was caught on tape saying.
Oh, boy.
Ah, and talk to Representative Loretta Sanchez as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look, you little smart ass. I think you are a godless, socialist, pot-smoking, maggot-infested member of the Blame America First crowd. And I think you want the terrorists to win.
Yeah. Me pegged. It is the 34... I'm sorry, I was distracted by the music. You think I've been in this business for a while. What? Huh? There's people yelling on the thing. 34 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, let's talk about the crazy Sharon Angle.
Yes.
These are the latest fun facts.
All right. I,
every day, it's either her or Christine O'Donnell to keep us entertained. So who is running against Let's Make a Deal, Backroom Deal, Harry Reid.
Yes.
Was caught on tape making a backroom deal with this Tea Party ass hat. I don't know what it is. This story just gets betterer and betterer. She had less than kind words for national Republicans, who she said were still moaning and groaning and weeping and gnashing when she came to Washington because they had backed who's the other crazy? The chicken lady.
Oh, God.
It's just a parade of crazies there.
Yeah.
Yeah, chicken lady, she beat her.
Sue Loudon.
That was the establishment candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And now this guy is from a more shadowy Tea Party movement.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Ascan.
There are many factions.
I think he might get ass-canned, actually, from this race. I'm not really sure, because now his shadowy Tea Party group is sort of disavowing him over the secret taping. The chairman, it's small. It's like a small Tea Party faction. What's it called? Oh, Tea Party of Nevada, a shadowy group formed this year that has been denounced by local Tea Party leaders. A lawsuit tried to knock him off the ballot already, but that didn't work.
Disarray there.
So now the chairman of his little shadowy Tea Party group is considering resigning and endorsing Angle because he's outraged over the secret taping.
Oh, look.
Okay, so she, on the tape, she's recorded as saying she wants Republican leadership to leave me alone. Those bastards are lucky that she even performs for them. Ascan says that since 2001, he considered Democrats and Republicans interchangeable. They're all thieves, to which Sharon Angle agrees. She said it's really been like that since 1991.
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you, bastard!
So then the aforementioned liars and thieves that should leave her alone, she promises that she can get access to them. She later assures him she can use her juice. She's got juice.
She's got juice?
Arrange meetings with Republican leaders, who she's just insulted on tape. Including Jim DeMint. By the way, there's a great email going around about Junior DeMints. Get it? Because a lot of these Tea Party candidates are Junior DeMints.
Yes.
Okay. With Jim DeMint and Mitch McChinless, Angle's campaign did not dispute the tape's authenticity and said she was expressing the frustrations experienced by Nevada working families who want blunt, plain-spoken leaders who are willing to shake things up. She wasn't speaking on behalf of Nevada working families. She was speaking on behalf of herself and her power-hungry ambitions by saying, get the hell out of the race so that I can win.
God.
What is she talking about? I was expressing frustration on behalf of Nevada's working families by saying, get the hell out of the race! You're going to screw me up, you loser! That is rich. That is hilarious. All right, we are trying to locate Loretta Sanchez. Does she not know what happened when Rick Sanchez didn't show up on my show? I'm just saying.
You're fired.
I don't think the same thing's going to happen to him.
No, of course not.
Loretta Sanchez.
I'm just saying. All right, we are trying to locate the good congresswoman who is actually working on some very important legislation I want to talk to her about. All right, the break. By the way, speaking of elections and such, did I tell you or
what?
Did I tell you? Well, you were right about one thing, which, you know, I think generic polls are kind of BS.
They are BS.
Yeah. That being said,
Democrats, the generic polls are looking good for Democrats.
Democrats are closing the gap. that's what I mean. The media likes to trumpet whatever the storyline, and it's going to be a huge tsunami, Democratic wipeout. Oh, my God, this is the biggest lead they've ever had, Republicans. So this is the ABC poll this morning. Democrats are gaining ground, according to a Washington Post ABC News poll. Republicans maintain a slight edge, but like you were saying, it really, the generics are tough to,
They really don't tell you anything. You have to go case by case.
Yeah. But several important states appear to be trending in Democrats' direction or growing more competitive. A month out from Election Day, strategists in both parties still think Republicans will make gains. I think that's kind of a given. It happens. You know, that's the thing. They try to make it into a story, mm-hmm. something that's happened every election cycle in our history. The party out of power always gains seats.
But sure.
Democratic held Senate seats in Washington, California, in Illinois. The party strategist once fretted appeared to be returning to or appeared to be returning to blue state form, and along with Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
May ultimately ensure that Republicans don't seize control of the 10 seats necessary to win back the Senate. I think everybody always said the Senate looked tough, but the early polls were really a gauge of people's anger, but more recent polls are a gauge of people's options, mm-hmm. which I think the president and more eloquently my best friend Aisha Tyler have said.
Well,
because when you're eating the good healthy turkey sandwich and someone offers you a ham sandwich with a finger in it, it may look more exciting momentarily. But then you go, I think I'll stick with this. This turkey sandwich might not be that exciting,
right.
But it's getting the job done. Christine O'Donnell, ham sandwich with a finger in it.
Yeah.
Sharon Angle.
Yeah. It's exciting for a second.
Yes, and then you're like, holy crap, there's a finger in it. That is crazy. Why am I eating this?
That poll also says that people are starting to feel better about the economy, and so it's all coming down to the economy.
Yes.
The
Gallup generic congressional ballot, which is based on weekly averages of Gallup daily tracking, that was the big story. Oh, my God, they're ahead 51-41% Republicans in late August. But it narrowed abruptly and showed a statistical. Statistical dead heat through much of September.
It could be a statistical.
That's what I was saying. It's psychops, as I've often said. Or psyops, if you're going to say it correctly. Don't let them psych you out into going, oh, you might as well stay home. You might as well not give any money to Democrats. It's all done with, blah, blah, blah. Max in Los Angeles on the Junior Demince. Hello, Max.
Good morning. You know, I'm just curious about they're gross opinions that he has, but what does he think about these single unmarried guys that are sexually active? I would imagine he would think...
Oh, yeah. Did you hear the latest, Max, in case people hadn't heard what that's about? So Jim Demince said that gay people and sexually active single women?
Pregnant
should not be allowed to teach.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, but what if they were pregnant by a male teacher? I would imagine that in his world, those guys should be teaching because they can show the guys on the football team what it takes to be a real man. He is so gross.
Yeah, he really is. And he's the head of these crazies.
Mm-hmm.
He's
the head of the Tea Party caucus in Congress.
Yeah.
They need to be forced to become an actual party. They need to be forced to come away from the Republicans and be a party. That would be really interesting to see what would happen if they actually ran as the Tea Party.
Yep, yep, absolutely. All right, honey, thank you. Yeah, that was the latest from Jim DeMint. Who, by the way, he's trying to block anything from getting... He is so power mad, this guy.
He really is. He's dangerous.
I don't think... That's the thing that I hope people understand a little more. Bernie Sanders was talking about it yesterday, but what the Republicans are actually doing, because a lot of people just don't know the inner workings of Congress, this whole that you need 60 votes for anything, it's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
It is unprecedented obstruction, and it is provable. And the fact that the president's gotten as much done... Bill Maher listed all the stuff the president's gotten done.
Yep.
The fact that he's gotten that much stuff done despite that is what they should be running on. And anyway, but I can't remember what. Oh, but Jim DeMint, that's unprecedented even for an obstructionist asshat Republican. He's trying to stop everything, just mm-hmm. one senator, any appointments, anything.
I don't understand how that can be done.
Hang on, I'm getting the stuff that's over here.
Oh, dear. Oh, need some help?
Just this week, Senator Jim DeMint settled the basic historical issue once and for all. The Civil War was a massive waste of time, money, and human life, at least as it pertains to the great state of South Carolina. Our friend Charlie Pierce, writing this at Esquire.com, I love his, he writes, so we'd have missed out on some good songs and that ending slavery thing was a good deal and Ken Burns wouldn't be as rich as famous and a lot of grizzled men who like to play soldier man dress up would have to go back to Star Trek conventions where they belong. I'll grant you all that, but at the very least we would have been spared the piteous spectacle this week of the world's greatest deliberative body and through that the world's greatest republic being seized entirely by a slick Leviticus mumbling grifter.
Oh.
This week, DeMint announced that he would employ his senatorial privileges to put a hold on virtually all legislation until after the midterm elections, after which he anticipates giddily that the clown car will stop at the steps of the Capitol and disgorge its contents, all of whom will have the propellers on their beanies spinning in the same direction as his. This is what democratic self-government has come down to in the 21st century. A coup DeMint. Charlie Pierce on Esquire.com. See, that's what he's guessing, that all of his Tea Party crazies are going to get elected, and then he can just stop everything and start immediately, you know, with the endless investigations of the president. And,
whatever.
So he's just going to take his ball and go home until then. All right. By the by, speaking of one race, which you know I'm very, very, very personally and emotionally involved in, and that is Barbara Boxer out here in California.
B-Box rocks.
B-Box does indeed rock. Thank you. And they are finding that you don't want to fight with Barbara Boxer. Republicans have now... no, you don't. I'm telling you.
I guess he wants a fight.
Everybody wants
kung fu fighting. Yeah, bring it.
And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
This is why you've got to, pay attention. Republicans have moved up a $2 million investment in the California U.S. Senate race after recent polls showing Barbara Boxer pulling ahead. Her campaign, by the way, Fiorina is also spending an undisclosed amount on the same ad campaign that they're going to start flooding us with. In the primary, Fiorina spent $5.5 million of her own money. That was that golden parachute that she got after being fired after running the company into the ground and outsourcing thousands of jobs?
Yes.
That money. Yeah, we're going to see out here in California whether Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman, whether people want people that can just buy a Senate seat despite their record. A field poll, the latest field poll, has showed Boxer with a 47% to 41% lead over Fiorina. So be aware, lots of Republican money flooding into California to try to put lipstick on the Carly Fiorina campaign.
Yeah.
Ugh. 45 minutes.
Well, as you guys know, I'm
What was that?
I don't know.
That was me talking about me.
Yikes.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, that's what I'm all about, making the dreams come true and stuff. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, where dreams come to die. 50 minutes after the hour.
Yes. Yes, they do.
1-800. You can attest to that personally.
Yes.
Oh, you probably hoped for so much more in life, didn't you?
Uh-huh. And now I live in a cardboard box down by the river.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Pat in South Carolina on Jim DeMint. Oh, boy. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, he's definitely not the sharpest tool in the shed, that's for sure. But and that's one reason I actually think there's got to be some bigger Republican behind it, like Rove or something like that, because this guy's just a disaster for this state.
Yeah, well, what's up with South Carolina? I know the question's been asked many times, Pat, but what's up?
You know, if the people weren't so sweet, I'd just move.
I have many friends from South Carolina.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I think South Carolina is so much better than its leaders. It's just you have such a crazy parade that's come from South Carolina.
I don't know, but, you know, something for the conspiracy corner is that, you know, we got this darn Alvin Green situation down here.
Yes, that is a situation. That's not just a candidate. That's a situation.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, there's all kinds of games that Republicans play down here, and it's just a disaster.
Aww.
But we demos are working hard.
All
still
right.
Working hard.
Keep up the fight, honey. All right. Thank you, Pat. Even if you're from South Carolina, come on. Sue in Rockville, Maryland on DeMint as well. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, just for the record, as Christine O'Donnell said, I'm not a witch.
You are not a witch. Good.
I'm not a witch.
So I don't even need to determine whether you're a good witch or a bad witch.
No, I'm not either one.
Okay.
But I also wanted to advise everybody, I encourage everybody to call Yertle the Turtle's office. Either call him or email
Yertle's
him.
Office, uh-huh.
And ask him how it feels to be on his back and have his whole, I thought he was the Senate Minority Leader, but apparently he's spinning on his shell on his back while Jim DeMint, the knuckle dragger, is taking over his position. And I just want to know how McConnell's people feel about it. And I think if we all just let him know how much we're enjoying this.
Right. You know, Sue, that's the one thing I wonder is why does the you know, again, are they just so scared to be called the liberal media? These are the storylines they always go with, right? Is Democrats in disarray. Democrats are going to be a wipeout. It's going to be a tsunami. And look at what's happening in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're tearing themselves apart between the Tea Party and the establishment.
And also the media gave so much attention to Glenn Beck's rally, but hardly a peep to the One Nation rally.
Yeah, that had a lot more people at it.
Oh, it was a complete rainbow. I mean, I live in this area, and it was just so exciting to see all the pictures and to see all the people. And another thing, because abortion is such a scary term for everybody, is to really emphasize the fact that these same knuckle draggers, or I call them Homo dummians, they're a subspecies of the Homo sapiens, you know, teabagger
horribleness. Right, because it's more of a freak show. I suppose, I hate to say it, but for entertainment, so it's more media-friendly. You know, it's better ratings to have a picture of the president with a bone through his nose and watermelons on the White House lawn than that simple picture that someone had at the One Nation rally of the president just saying, respect my president.
Exactly. But what about the utter hypocrisy of libertarians like Rand Paul who want the government out of your life unless you're a childbearing female, in which case they want the government to force you to bear the children of your attackers.
And they don't want government health, unless, of course, it's his Medicare payments that he gets as a doctor.
Right.
Why
you know, and Sharon Angle's against anything from the government unless, of course, it's the government health insurance that he and she and her husband receive because he was a government employee.
Why should Democrats be afraid of saying these people want you to be forced to bear children, but they don't want the government, they don't want to collect taxes, or, you know, like this story last night about this fireman, this man whose house burnt down because he wouldn't pay the $75 fee.
And look at, you know what, as I've said many times, I have many good-hearted friends that are pro-choice, that are pro-life. You know, it's not that we don't all understand the complexity of that issue, but I think you're right, Sue, that's just one issue, but you really got to look at it in this election cycle and go, these are people that, even in cases of rape and incest, don't want a woman to be able to have the right to choose. This is, you know, women are going to end up in jail if they're true to their principles, right?
Precisely right. And again, they don't want government, but they want to force, literally want the government to take a forceful prosecutorial role for women in terms of their bodies, but, you know, no responsibility in any other way. And the hypocrisy is so stunning, and I just wish someone besides wonderful people like you and Keith and Rachel, you know, and progressive media, the few of us that are around, cover that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a winning issue for Democrats.
I'm going to name drop. Everybody look back. I was at this, Sue, this great PFLAG event this past weekend, Parents and Friends of Gays and Lesbians, and I forgot to tell you, I met Amy Madigan, who I love, and Ed Harris. You know, they're married. Anyway, she's a fabulous actress, but she's a big pro-choice activist, and she was like, her head was going to explode. You know what I mean? It's just, you feel like you've made progress on all these issues, you know, and then, like you say, you have these people on the verge of getting in that think it should be disallowed even in cases of rape and incest. I mean, it really is stunning.
And for those of us who are way past our childbearing years, we've raised generations.
What do you mean, those of us? What do you mean, those of us?
Yes, Stephanie, you.
You speak for yourself and your big dusty egg, Sue.
But, you know, I want them to look in the eyes of the women they love, the men who love those women and
the women
themselves, and look at these women and say, you don't deserve the right I have. Not only do you not deserve the right I have, but you deserve to be punished and criminalized for being attacked.
Right.
And then tell me that you're going to pull the lever for those morons.
Well, that, you know, it, one of the parallel issues to me, Sue, is that, you know, this horrible tragedy of what's happening with these gay suicides this week, you know, is that, you know, here are all these great people, you know, that Jane Lynch and all of these, you know, people from, you know, behind Glee, Ryan Murphy, and people that are really PFLAG, Trevor Project, GLSEN, you know, that are fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you kind of go, God, haven't we made so much progress on gay rights? And then you have a week like this where you know, that's the bad news. The good news is there's all these really good people, all the people on Larry King last night that are really out there
Here's my question to all of the people who are anti these choices, and especially when it comes to gay issues. What's it to them? I honestly, at a core level, do not understand. What is it to you? How does it affect your life if people choose to love each other, people want to be together, regardless of what sex they are?
Did you see Ellen DeGeneres did a great thing just about, you know, people's hearts and minds will change, you know, it will get better, and you need to be alive to see it, you know?
How can the love you feel for the people in your life change based on who they choose to have sex with or are born to have sex with?
Or have relationships with. It's not just about sex. It's about relationships.
Yes. Some people love me, and I don't have sex with anybody. All right.
Thank you.
All right. All right, let's do one quick one.
Sad.
Jeff, and a little moment of reality there, brought to you by Carbonite. Hello, Jeff in South Carolina.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, honey, go ahead.
Hey, I was looking at Jim DeMint's record the other day, and, you know, he's never been the main sponsor of a bill that's become law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because he's just a big obstructionist asshat. That's his role in life.
He had about a dozen attempts in his first year to sponsor a bill that would have reduced import restrictions on women's waterproof pants.
Oh, wow. We're a poorer nation for not having that. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. It's the key to everything magical in life.
It certainly is.
That lacks sincerity. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, like the folks from the Huffington Post did that were at my party this Saturday night.
Oh.
This is, can I have some love music? This is about people helping people. This is about a party of liberal Hollywood elite that would make Fox News head explode. There was Gloria Allred and Maxine Waters and Lily Tomlin and people from the Huffington Post and people from Trevor Project and Courage Campaign and lots of people helped. There was a torture survivor from the Congo there, my friend Bibi.
Wow.
And so Terry from the Huffington Post wrote and said, thanks for your help in getting in touch with Harry Shearer. I want to let you know that I was able to get his film, The Big Uneasy, into the Carmel Film Festival this weekend.
Very cool.
People helping people.
Because she'll have to go up to Mom Country again.
Liberal people helping liberal people, Jim. My highlight of the night, Jim Ward and Harry Shearer did do Dueling Tom Brokaw's live
Dueling
in front of
Tom
me.
Dueling Tom Brokaw's live at Stephanie Miller's party. Her birthday celebration.
Just being right next to it, I know my listeners are so jealous right now, but just seeing the tongues was worth it. Just face-to-face in my hallway, Jim and Harry Shearer. It was a brum.
It was spectacular.
It was a tour de force. A tour de hallway, actually, but it was...
Yeah.
All right.
Tour de kitchen, almost. We were sort of in the vicinity of the kitchen.
Yes,
that's
exactly
where the food is.
Yes.
Exactly.
Actually, it was all over the place. People were serving you right and left. You couldn't, you know, you turn around, someone's shoving food in your face.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's great stuff, too.
Oh, thank you, Jim Ward. Oh, I still have your mic stand in my car.
Oh, that's right.
From karaoke. That's how seriously Jim Ward
Which
takes
I
his karaoke.
Ended up not needing, but I want to be have all the bases covered.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my party and your karaoke duties so seriously.
So I have 17 harmonicas in every conceivable key.
Exactly. All right. So, speaking of requests, Damien in Pennsylvania writes, Mama, good morning. I'm getting married to a lovely gal named Liz. I was wondering if Steph would do us the honor of giving us a wedding greeting as Randy Rhodes. Thank you so much. Oh, you know, I don't. It's like Jim usually gets. I don't often get the request.
No. A lovely gal named Liz.
Okay, Damien and Liz, good luck to you. Good luck. Good luck. All right. It's 9 minutes after. Thank you. Can I just say, can I have my love music in? Well, everybody knows how much I love Randy Rhodes, who is my radio best friend. But you know how she gives homework out on her show? She's very well read, well studied. She also
gives what you should read.
Yeah, she has links up very helpfully on her website. She
report.
Yes, she urges people to do homework and know what they're talking about. But so Randy Rhodes not only gives you homework, she gives me homework.
Uh oh.
She's because she's a person. She's a helper. She's a people helping people. Liberal people helping liberal. But anyway, she's a team player. It kind of cracks me up. And also, I think it's a casting aspersions on. She doesn't probably think you're doing your job that well, Chris.
Hey!
She sends me stories all the time. I'm like going, Randy's giving me homework? I read. All right. Randy,
well,
I read that.
Well, I send her stories, so.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
stories.
Have much faith in her producer.
All right.
What?
And I got a little, I got some backup from Patty. Thank you, Steph. Ha, huh, I thought I was the only one who peed in the yard with my puppy. Thank you. See, people understand what I mean. When you have a puppy, Chris.
You didn't do that in Central Park, did you?
No. In my own yard here, when you're training a puppy and it's late at night and you know, you got to wait for them to do pee and the poop. And so, you know, sometimes, and then you need to show them, like, oh, look like mommy.
Hmm. Yeah.
No.
That wouldn't work
just
with the cat
one,
box,
not
I'm
the
afraid.
Two.
Oh, okay.
Although, if I did do that, I could just say it's composting. I could just spin it in a liberal.
But would you have to pick up your own poo, you know, like you pick up after your dogs?
I don't do that. I just have peed in my yard when I'm out, you know, with the puppy. Okay.
It's just weird. I don't know anybody who trains their dog like that.
Well, Patty does, who just wrote to me. I got some backup on my...
Film's going to be up on TMZ any minute.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Oh, here's from the stack of things... people tell the police when they get caught with drugs up their ass. It's a new feature.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed how...
We need a jingle. Shano, get on that.
Have you ever noticed that the cocaine is never yours? And
no,
every story
not.
You read, it's what? Never yours.
No.
It's so curious how often that happens.
I was just holding it for a guy. He said he'd be right back.
Particularly if it's cocaine that you're hiding up your ass. But that would be curious. It would have to be a close friend that you're holding it for.
Yeah.
I would think.
Very close.
Maybe
yes.
Your hands were full and you really had nowhere else to put it.
Exactly. So you just... Raymond Stanley Roberts was pulled over Wednesday in a routine traffic stop for speeding. Approaching the Hyundai, deputies could smell a strong odor of marijuana.
Hyundai.
Pardon me?
Speeding in a
Hyundai.
Well,
yeah.
Hyundais are much better than they used to be.
Yes. While searching Roberts' bodies, deputies felt a soft object between his buttocks. The report says Roberts then said, "Let me get it," which I think is, you know.
That's suspicious.
And pulled out a baggie of marijuana weighing 4.5 grams. He denied holding anything else, but then the deputies felt yet another soft object in the same area and pulled it out through the exterior of Robert's shorts. The object was a bag with 27 pieces of rock cocaine weighing 3.5 grams. When the bag fell to the ground, Roberts immediately explained, "The white stuff is not mine, but the weed is."
Oh.
So that would be curious as they were both up your ass. You know, it just would be curious, like,
what a weird
that thing is mine. I'm not sure how the other thing got up there. He then stated that his friend borrowed the vehicle before, and he saw the cocaine on the passenger seat when he was pulled over.
And thought,
he's
I'm
like,
going to
oh,
jam this up my ass.
Yeah, exactly. No, maybe
who
he
wouldn't
just...
think that?
He saw it there, and he sat on it, maybe, or something, and that's...
It's just a convenient place.
Do you think
to
cops keep a straight face during stuff like that? Okay.
It's just a convenient place to on delisted.com. Mm-hmm. They've been running a picture for the past few days of a rather large shirtless guy.
Yes.
Who you know, conveniently kept his pack of Newports underneath his man boob, and it just held it there.
Nice.
I mean, if you don't have shirt pockets.
I just think it would not even be worth it. It would be too embarrassing to admit that something up your ass is not yours. You know what I'm saying? I understand that's a typical excuse, but I'm just saying anything in that intimate a place, I just wouldn't admit to then that. Then you're admitting to someone else being up your ass as well.
Oh, it'd get sweaty.
Exactly. Yeah. Roseanne in San Jose, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roseanne.
Hi.
Hello.
The reason I called was I saw a video last night that was supposed to be the rally I went to on Saturday. It had about 20 or so people holding a banner for socialism, and it was, I think, put on by Prosperity for America or something like that. And I didn't see anything like that at the rally. I was on the top step behind Ed when he was talking.
Right. Ed was great, by the way. I got to see a lot of the clips.
Wonderful. I was crying. I talked to so many people walking from the metro towards the Lincoln Memorial, and it was just a wonderful feeling. But I didn't see anybody holding these signs that were in this video.
There were no Communist Party?
The Socialist Party took over the rally was what the YouTube said, something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You can tell when it's a talking point that we had the right-wing caller yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm a liberal, but I don't want to be in the Communist Party. It's like,
I did not see anything like that. The there were some wonderful
people.
Signs, but it was all about jobs, justice, education, hope, not hate, which was my favorite, and just wonderful speakers.
Good.
Indescribable.
Good. Well, thank you, honey. Thanks for the report.
I knew that was BS.
Yeah. I know why they're going to force us all to be communists.
The Communist Party's enforcement.
All right, can I just, I knew this would happen because, as you know, I'm always right. A lot of people pee in the yard with their dogs. Hi, Rachel in Humboldt. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Good. And yes, it does happen. And you know, if you read dog training books, dogs do model behavior for other dogs.
Thank you.
And I have a little dog who's skinny and has a hard time going out when it's cold. And when he was a puppy, he needed a little help knowing where was the appropriate potty spot in the yard.
Right.
And if you go out in the middle of the night and you're waiting for your dog to pee.
Thank you.
You know, nothing wrong with it. Fertilize the yard a little.
Exactly.
It kills your grass.
It does not.
No, doesn't.
When was the last time you peed on a tree? And you're a dude. Come on,
Chris. Well, God, Stephanie just had to get all of her sod in her backyard replaced because the dogs were ruining it by peeing and pooing on it.
That's why you show them the appropriate spot. You pick a spot, and you go there.
So you have a little yellow
listen,
spot.
Rachel, you don't know how strong my thighs are from perching on a hillside in the ivy. That's
fantastic.
Fantastic. I'm like a screech monkey. John in Tennessee would also like some more information on this. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hey, look, I got a question. Stephanie, I had to call. Normally, I just listen to you and everything.
Yeah.
And don't cut me off, all right?
No.
But I want to know one thing. You said that you, in the backyard, pee with your dog to train your dog, right?
Well, not every day.
But come on, though, Stephanie. Think about it. Really, stop and think about this. If a woman is to do that, I mean, it's different for a guy, and it's different for a guy because we stand up, we can hide. But when you see a woman stooping down, bending down, and all of a sudden the stream comes down.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Is that the way you think? Is that something you recommend?
What, just because you can write your name in the snow, you're going to discriminate against me? I can't pee. This is America. I can't pee in my own yard.
Stephanie, don't. You can do it whatever you want in your own yard. That's not the issue, Stephanie. The thing is that would you recommend this for other ladies?
Yes.
Nice ladies
all
like
the single
you.
Ladies.
All the single ladies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would recommend it for all the single ladies.
Yeah, but that sounds kind of.
And that's why we're single, because who wants to marry someone that's out in the yard peeing? Why is he giving me, for God's sakes? Is this not America? Woo! All the single ladies peeing in the yard.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
Here's the difference.
That's what I'm talking about.
Here's the difference.
I just peed on my shoe.
Yeah. Men can aim it away from us. Women cannot.
Oh, my God, that's so sexist.
It's plumbing.
What, because I can't write my name? I need a pocket fisherman or something?
Stephanie,
is the United States of America, and I can pee in my own yard when I'm training my dog if I want to.
You pee on your shoe.
I did not pee on my shoe.
Men don't do that because we aim it away from ourselves. It's just a simple fact of plumbing. There are differences between the sexes, you know.
18 minutes after the hour, Stephanie Miller and the two guys with penises show.
When you're
right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake.
Oh, yeah.
La la la.
That's it.
Oh, sorry. We were just dreaming of the unicorn that farts glitter that we're going to get in the midterms. And a leprechaun that farts gold dust. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
When you were out there peeing in the yard, did you have to tickle your butt?
Yes, I sometimes do. Thanks for bringing that up again.
Well,
I do have to tickle my butt. I'm pee shy.
Sometimes the rats in the ivy will take care of that for you.
Is that whiskers? That's working. Ew, somebody told me they found a dead rat.
At the party?
No.
Oh.
We got that all cleaned up before the party.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, out in the,
dear.
Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie. Oops, I did the wrong thing there. Sorry. Mike and Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call and thank you, first of all, for your defense yesterday of the Communist and Socialist Party. I'm a member of the Socialist Party USA. And
well, I wasn't exactly defending you. I was saying that this is America, and if somebody brought a sign, there's nothing illegal
Bernie
about
Sanders
that.
Bernie Sanders is a socialist.
No, exactly, but I guess my point is that it's really frustrating to go to these progressive events and things, and you know, I'll be there supporting some causes that we all have in common, but then have some people on the left demonizing communists and socialists and being like, I don't want to be seen around you guys, you know. And
no, we actually have a big tent, unlike the Republican Party that always says they do, but they just mean different white people with a couple different facial expressions. That's what they mean by diversity.
Yeah, exactly. So
Jim and I can tell you, we used to go to these anti-war rallies. During the Bush years, and we were like, "Where are the hemp people to focus, people? We got a war to get out of. You're welcome here and everything."
You know, we don't allow racists in our party, though. That's the thing.
I just think they don't feel welcome. let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mom. I'm not doing well today. I'm a failure as a homosexual.
You're a failed homosexual? You're not practicing?
Well, I'm practicing as best I can, but this Saturday, I've raised a heterosexual daughter who's marrying a heterosexual man.
And they're
getting married.
What kind of recruiter are you?
I'm not good. The toaster oven, I've already sent it back. I just figured I might as well give it up. You know, it's just, there's no point. And they're cops. They're both cops on top of it. So
wow.
Oh, boy. Well, you'll have to practice harder. And then, pardon me?
Yes, I will practice harder, but I was wondering to get to the support groups for men of my kind.
All right. Good luck, Dave.
Yeah, well.
He was exercising the irony there.
Yes.
Okay. David in Orange County. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I'm a 17-year-old, and I guess part of it for me is amidst all of these elections and everything, my generation has done such a great job of kind of speaking out and just standing up. I mean, we did so much to get Obama in office and all of that, and I guess part of it for me, it's so frustrating to see a lot of that enthusiasm die, I guess, especially coming toward these fall elections and just kind of the topic of what's going on has kind of faded away. I don't know.
What do you think will reinvigorate the youth vote?
I don't know. I think, you know, I think part of the problem is we're a very results-oriented generation.
Right.
And we came into it saying, you know, there was a great message that we could all get behind. And then, you know, people feel like not enough has happened. But I guess part of it is, and Obama's working hard just to point out, hey, you know, we're doing a lot. But
well, Dave, that's the thing. I don't know if you watched Bill Maher this last week, but he did a really great long list of all the things the president has accomplished despite unprecedented obstructionism. And so, you know, I think, you know, his call for us to stand with him and keep working with him toward all the stuff that we fought so hard for, I think is good, don't you?
Absolutely. No, yeah, and I think a lot, I mean, the more of that, the better. I just think that part of it, too, was just, I think, probably what was going on before the election was how into it everybody got, and they realized how bad things were and what we needed to change. And my hope is that things aren't going to get so bad that people feel like they have to rebel or else, you know, the world's going to end or whatever. But I think just the main thing is that people need to see what needs to be done and just to keep being.
I mean, he needs our help, I think, to get a lot of this stuff over the finish line, whether it's, you know, don't ask, don't tell, whether it's all of the things that we sort of fought for in the election. And, you know, if nothing else, David, I mean, how do you feel seeing a president you fought so hard for with a, you know, picture with a bone through his nose or a Hitler mustache, you know?
Oh, it's just, it's disgusting.
That's why you got to look at these signs at our rally and go, hope, not hate. You know, we have to turn the tide back on what's happened these last 18 months, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I also find it just kind of almost silly, but also kind of awesome that a generation, my age people are the ones, you know, really who supported that hope, not hate movement.
And you got to do it again 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You make me sick.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the whole drop. That's it. Wow.
Welcome.
That's
to
it.
34
wow.
minutes after the hour. To the point. Good. Julian Cambridge, Steph, here is a guide to freestyle stand-up peeing devices for females. Let's see. P-Mate, Wizzy, Go Girl, and my favorite, the Shee-Wee. Weird women do it standing up in the dark in the yard with their dogs. Thank you so much for your support, Julian. I appreciate it. Ed in Long Island.
Hi.
On what anyone who's ever lived with or dated a man can tell you, they don't all have good aim, right, Ed?
Good aim or good equipment. Some of us come up a little short, but as a subway conductor in New York City, I can tell you, people are training their pets all over the place. It's a wash.
Peeing in public is a sport. Are you getting it's a hobby in New York City?
A profession, I guess. I don't know.
Are you really a subway conductor?
Yes, I am.
Can you please say Yonkers for me?
Yonkers?
Yes,
but,
thank you.
How about this one? Welcome to Times Square, or this is Shea Stadium.
No, you're speaking way too clearly. Yeah. You don't sound like a subway conductor.
You really sound more like... I think that's a problem with the speakers and not with the conductor.
Hey, that's weird.
Yeah.
Why can't you afford better audio equipment on the subway? I've always wondered.
I think they just rather spend the money on... polishing the floor rather than
setting
yeah.
it on. Welcome to the rest of the watch out for the urine.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing about New York is you cannot figure out what's where the stop is. You have to ask people because that's all you get is just like,
Clinton Harmon. This stop here is up next is
It's not much better here in Los Angeles
like,
on the subway.
I bet it works fine and then they put that, like, that Charlie Brown's teacher thing over the, you know.
Muted trombone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Hey, speaking of New York, let's talk about Carl Palladino. The
what?
He's the candidate for.
What are you looking at?
Take you out.
He'll take you out to dinner and a movie.
An investigation by the New York Daily News.
And you're gonna like it, or else.
New York Republican gubernatorial candidate Carl Palladino. A multi-million-dollar real estate developer promised to revive the economy of Buffalo by creating new jobs, received $3 million in state tax breaks to do so, but then pocketed the tax refunds while delivering very few jobs.
Palladino... You got a problem with that? What? What are you going to do about it?
I'm guessing he's going to take the Daily News out, along with the New York Post.
Possibly.
And then there will be no tabloids in New York. They found Palladino's companies netted $3 million in tax breaks through a program called the Empire Zones while producing a grand total of 25 new jobs.
25? Wow.
To justify tax breaks, in one instance, he sold a dozen vacant lots he owned to himself and claimed hundreds of thousands of dollars in real property investments.
Yeah.
Seven years later, those investments remain what they were, vacant lots.
They're not completely vacant. There may be some bodies in some of those vacant lots.
There's some stuff in there.
You never know.
Don't go nosing around in there. I'm just saying there's some
stuff. Some people get nosy. Stuff happens.
Is New York just full of thugs? Is that all that's there?
Good Lord.
No, there's some wonderful people there. And they stay in their apartments to avoid the thugs.
Yeah, to avoid the thugs.
To avoid those other people. To avoid the Palladinos of the world.
To run out the front door into the limo and try not to.
John in Chicago on the enthusiasm get. Hello, John.
Hey, Steph Mooks. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Just wanted to basically kind of give people some insight here. Everybody's going about the enthusiasm gap and, you know, why Democrats aren't enthusiastic. The reason
I can't get excited about that story.
The reason we were so enthusiastic in 08 is we felt like we were a part of history, not just Democrats, but, you know, centrists too. We felt like we were making history, helping get the first black man elected
to
president.
Right.
And we don't have that anymore. We don't have anything that we feel like is we're a part of history anymore. That piece is done. So we're just going to kind of
yeah, but we all, you can't. But we still are. You can't give up 18 months in, can you? Like
exactly, and any logical person who thinks about it can't deny what has been accomplished in just 20 short months. I mean, it's really phenomenal especially when you take into account how much opposition has been thrown up to just every single thing. You know.
Yep, absolutely, and the fact that is unprecedented, the whole 60 vote thing, John, and the fact the president has gotten as much done as he has, I think it tells you everything you need to know about why you have to get off the couch this midterm.
And even if you're disappointed in Obama, that's no reason to let the Republicans take over Congress.
Right.
In fact, Bill Richardson and Bernie Sanders echoed Joe Biden's thoughts that...
All right, bitches, just get it together.
Essentially.
Just, you know, come
on. Quit whining.
They joined a chorus of Democratic Party leaders arguing that liberal voters must get their heads in the game before the midterms. One also argued President Obama
get
must...
Get your heads out of your ass and into the game. That's all I'm saying.
Bitches.
It's an effing big deal.
Bernie Sanders said we have a very serious situation. I think there's a concern that the president hasn't seen that urgency. Sanders said the president's accomplishments during the last 2 years are nothing to sneeze at. Bill Richardson said it is up to Democratic supporters to cease what he called their internal carping over the party's legislative accomplishments and present a unified case for Democrats' return to power. He said that there's one message I want to send is that we should stop firing at each other. We've got enough people, the Republicans, firing at us already, so we don't need those divisions in the party. He also made a good point. He said we should take on the Tea Party. For some reason, everyone's scared of them. What they really want to do to this country when they talk about reducing deficits is they're cutting into Medicare, Medicaid, firefighters, teachers, nurses, people's benefits, Social Security. It's important that we not be defensive, that we be strong. We have to unify and stop the internal carping. Yeah, as you know, by the way, Rand Paul is against Medicare, except for the checks that he gets from them as a doctor himself. Yeah.
I think his agenda is wrong for America. Mm-hmm. I will stand up against President Obama's agenda, and I think that's what people in Kentucky want.
Oh, yeah.
They want no Medicare. Mm-hmm. Oh, except you do.
Well, they also want licensed doctors, of which he is.
And Sharon Engel wants government out of everything, except, of course, the health insurance checks she gets from the government as a wife of someone who's a former federal employee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. How can she be so against the government, yet her husband worked for the government? I don't...
You would think if she had principles, then she would give the checks back.
Yes.
If she wasn't too busy trying to make backroom deals that are recorded on tape. Nicholas in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, here in San Francisco, we have some good news because Meg Whitman refused to debate Jerry Brown today here in San Francisco. It was going to be an hour-long debate. It was going to be the only radio debate throughout the whole campaign.
That's right.
It was going to be the only time that we as people would be able to ask Ms. Whitman what her positions were directly, not being filtered through her $120 million, which is insane in this kind of economy. But also, I want to say that I'm so glad Barbara Boxer is ahead, because we have to understand that this next election is really important, too, because redistricting is going to be up.
Yep. Well, we had to decide in California if we wanted to, just to be able to buy a Senate seat and a governorship with your own money. I mean, they're flooding more money into the Boxer race, the Republican Party, and Fiorina herself. So Meg Whitman, by the way, did you see the debate? She doubled down, Jim, on her.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites.
She continues calling for cracking down on employers. Who hire undocumented immigrants. She said, if we don't hold employers accountable, we'll never get our arms around this very challenging problem. And Brown said, now talking about cracking down, Ms. Whitman, obviously you didn't crack down on yourself.
Right.
She said, Meg, I didn't want to hit you on this, but when you try to evade responsibility, you're going around the state saying employers must be accountable for hiring unlawful people. There ought to be raids on business. There's no path to citizenship. No path. Don't run for governor if you can't stand on your own 2 feet and say, hey, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Let's go on from here. Whitman indicated she will not support comprehensive immigration reform or a path to legalization until there's no more illegal immigrants crossing the border. Well, that's realistic.
Yeah, exactly.
Meg Whitman yesterday.
You put her out there, and you should be ashamed for sacrificing Nikki Diaz on the altar of your political ambitions.
Sherry Brown, you're the cause of all what? No,
based on no evidence, she accuses Jerry Brown.
She blamed everybody else except for herself, the one who hired her.
Oh, that's what Jerry Brown said, by the way.
You have blamed her, blame me, blame the left, blame the unions, but you don't take accountability.
Yeah. As Gloria Allred said at my party, Meg Whitman has spent $120 million. Gloria Allred spent $10 on a chalkboard. It wasn't so hard to prove. All right, 43 minutes after the hour, we have located Representative Loretta Sanchez. We will talk to her next about some important legislation she's working on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Is it Mick Jagger or is it me at the party?
Who can tell?
We just posted a picture.
Live or memorable?
Good. We just posted a picture of Jim singing karaoke at your party.
Oh, it's an awesome picture.
In the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com.
Are there any other party pictures up?
There certainly are.
Hmm. Okay, check it out.
World famous voiceover actress Lori Allen.
Yes, and Lily Tomlin.
Oh, yep.
Yes, all right. Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez did not show up. I think she was afraid I would outdance her. Good morning, Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez.
Good morning.
We missed you at the party, but you were working on other important things, apparently.
You know, I got an election going on, and raising money for that. I'm going door to door talking to the voter. I'm exposing my opponent's terrible, terrible record. And I'm helping others.
All right.
So we can hold on to the House.
I will accept that as an excuse. Tell it, you have an important new bill that I want to talk about. You, of course, are the vice chair of the House Homeland Security Committee. You have introduced a bill to protect children worldwide from sexual exploitation. Tell us about that.
That's right. It's called House Resolution H.R. 6266, and it's entitled the Sex Offender Notification International Travel Act. Mm-hmm. And it requires sex offenders to notify law enforcement officials before they go traveling internationally. Because guess what happens? A lot of these people travel internationally. They go to places where it's easily accessible to get, young children, and do dirty deeds with them, and we want to stop that.
Mm-hmm. The Joyful Child Foundation actually said during these politically charged times, it takes real courage and vision to introduce a policy that will create jobs for returning veterans, protect children from those who seek to exploit them, and to make resources for law enforcement a real priority. And Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez has done all in one bill. That's the other thing is people don't realize all that entails.
Well, we have been working very long and hard for the last year with the officials over at the Department of Homeland Security to take a look at all of the, little loopholes that people use to really traffic people and to exploit people, especially in the sex trade. And so actually they were able to identify so many of the pieces that went into this bill. And it's my pleasure to introduce it, and I will be working very hard, especially after the election. As you know, Congress will come back for the lame duck session, and I hope that it's one of the bills that we pass.
Well, because, I think a lot of people, Congressman, aren't aware of it. I know somebody was saying child sexual exploitation isn't just a problem overseas. It's flourishing here.
Oh, it's really disgusting, actually. In fact, I have brought what we call a trafficking persons task force to Orange County. We've had it now for about 5 or 6 years. It's under the direction of Lieutenant Marsh, who's with the Westminster Police Force, and we have nonprofits and county people and employers, because there is a lot of trafficking that comes into especially areas where there's a lot of immigrants, because sometimes you don't notice what's coming in and how people are either used domestically, abused as slaves in the home, or in sweatshops in downtown L.A. and also in some portions of Irvine and Orange County and other places where we have found them, or more importantly, of course, the sex trade. And so we have worked very diligently to let people know that if they see something strange even happening in a home in their neighborhood, that they should alert law enforcement, because it usually if you think it's strange, there is something going on, and a lot of times it is the sex trafficking.
Well, and they say that, you know, most of the time in crime, and that's how, you know, people, things get solved, is it's because people are paying attention. Right?
Right,
neighbors, friends, whoever.
Exactly, those people who you know, always say, God, they're so nosy and everything, but those are actually the neighbors that find and help us to find this real exploitation going on. And of course, as you know, in particular in the sex trade, of course, it's a lot of women that are abused in this manner. It's going more and more to children, to young children. We're talking ages 7 and 8. I mean, it's really pathetic. So we really need to crack down on this. And so when we have these registered sex offenders, one of the things they do is they go abroad internationally, from California in particular, to go over to the Asian countries. It's more because of the lower income over there in some of those countries. It's more accessible to get little children. And so we want to have them tell us when they're going internationally. And, of course, then the Department of Homeland Security can talk to the local law enforcement where these people are going to ensure that they're not doing these types of things.
Congresswoman, let's talk about, I don't know if you saw the new you know, ABC News, Washington Post poll this morning, but obviously Democrats gaining ground. How are you feeling about the midterms?
Absolutely. I believe that we are going to hold on to the House and to the Senate. Democrats are gaining ground. Why? Because we have been talking to people. We've been in our districts. We've been telling people what we've been doing. People are beginning to understand how important health care reform was, how important the stimulus plan was to keeping our economy alive. 60% or 70% of the economists nationally have said that the stimulus package was one of the most important things we ever passed in order to keep our economy moving forward. Now people are realizing we saved 3.5 million jobs or created those jobs.
Yep.
We're seeing the effects of the research dollars that have come into California. People are understanding that if it hadn't been for Congress giving more money for Pell Grants, changing the student loan program, giving actual money to community colleges, to the Cal State system, to UC Irvine and other universities, that there would be less classes and less people going, being able to go and work on their higher education. And so people are beginning to realize and wake up and say, hey, the Democrats have been doing the job and the Republicans have said no, 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 no.
Yep, absolutely. All right, before you go, please come clean. You were afraid of a dance-off with me. That's why you didn't show up at my party.
You know what?
Don't be afraid.
I believe that my staff never tell me about the good parties because all they want to do is make me work, work, work.
Yeah, Representative Maxine Waters was there.
Well, man, she can cut up the rug. I know that.
Yeah, that's
she
right.
Can. Representative Loretta Sanchez out, I don't know, campaigning and legislating something. Always great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks
all right,
so much,
there
Stephanie.
She goes, Representative Loretta Sanchez.
Yay.
Maxine Waters not afraid of the dance-off. She kicked my ass.
Yeah, she even did the single ladies dance.
Yes, indeed she did.
Uh-huh.
All right, you know, here's, you know, one Democrat that I love is, as you know, my future husband, Senator Russ Feingold.
Yep.
But who was just talking to us about this the other day? The Democrats really, like, instead of being afraid, Rude Pundit, being afraid, like, really touting their accomplishments and not cowering. Russ Feingold is doing that. He's boldly embracing and defending his vote for health care. In his latest campaign television ad, and other Democrats avoid the topic. The problem is, because they bought Republican lies in some quarters about the thing, they go, oh, well, yeah, we shouldn't talk about it then. It's like, well, we don't have death panels or government takeover for this. What we do have is not getting dropped for pre-existing condition and blah, blah, blah. You know all of it.
Mm-hmm.
While other candidates have defended aspects of the health care law, most Democrats have shied away from it on the campaign trail, blah, blah, blah. President Obama, with Feingold as his side, defended the law at a political rally at the University of Wisconsin-Madison last week. Obama specifically touted the provision allowing adults up to age 26 to remain on their parents' health insurance. Blah, blah, blah. You know the pre-existing. Okay.
Yep.
Feingold's new ad, which began airing last week, features people talking to the camera saying the senator fought to stop insurance companies from denying coverage to Wisconsin children with pre-existing conditions. The ad claims Johnson, the owner, former owner of Oshkosh Plastics, that's the guy running against him, would put insurance companies back in control and let them raise premiums as much as they want. Ron Johnson hands off my health care.
Yeah.
Good one, the ad says. Feingold says taking insurance companies and passing health insurance reform was the right thing to do. The latest ad isn't the first time Feingold has attempted to turn criticism of him on its head. He also embraced Johnson, calling him a career politician, challenging Johnson to explain why dedicating most of his life to public service is a bad thing. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they should, I said from the beginning, they should have ads showing kids who who have health insurance now. I mean, actual people who are benefiting, you know.
And then Ron Johnson just slapping it out of their hands.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Or just Republican assets saying, we're just going to say no. We're going to stop everything.
Yeah.
We're going to.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, Ron Johnson, his opponent, says the science of global warming is unproven.
Oh.
He continues to deny the existence of global warming.
And gravity. He's he's a oogie on the whole gravity thing.
He said, I'm not even sure if it were a fact, whether we could do anything about it anyway.
Ah, so just keep polluting. What the heck? Just make money polluting. You're going to die anyway.
Wow. Wow. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Guess what, darling?
What?
Arianna Huffington is next.
Hooray!
And Paula Poundstone after that. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Lots of new party pictures are up. Under the gallery section,
right.
Jim Ward. Is that what? Was that Joe Cocker or Stones you were doing
that
in that
was
picture?
Mick Jagger.
That was Mick Jagger.
Because I had the harmonica.
Ah, okay. Check it out.
That was a long song.
Yeah.
That was a long song, but I enjoyed it.
What song was that?
The live version of Midnight Rambler.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So it was like my kid was in a Thanksgiving play, though I couldn't leave. I was being supportive.
Yeah.
He was doing so great, and I was like, wow, this is long, though.
It was like 8 minutes.
I said it would have to be the live version.
It was terrific. Jim Ward, karaoke king. All right, you can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Someone who dashed all of my dreams and was not there, Arianna Huffington. But she's here now, and so I'll forgive her. Good morning, Arianna.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm so sorry I missed your party.
That's all right. You were well represented. Roy Seacoff was there and Terry City and a bunch of other people that would make Fox News' head explode. It was.
But I hear there are plenty of people across the political spectrum.
Exactly. Listen, it was a dance-off that you don't even want to know. It's now let's get on to your new book, because I love it. I went to the book party for Third World America, How Our Politicians Are Abandoning the Middle Class and Betraying the American Dream. That's a little dark. You write, it's not an exaggeration to say that middle-class Americans are an endangered species, and the American dream of a secure, comfortable standard of living has become as outdated as an Edsel with an 8-track player. United States, literally, you say, is in danger of becoming a third-world nation.
Well, look at what's happening to the middle class. Look at the fact that what used to be the essence of the American dream, upward mobility, is now becoming a complete fantasy for millions of Americans. You know, Homer Simpson himself would be a fantasy now. You know, the idea that you could actually, on one income, comfortably support a family of five with a middle class standard of living. It just isn't happening anymore. Stephanie, I say in the book that we moved from a country that makes things to a country that makes things up.
Yes.
CDOs and credit default swaps and all these things that have brought our country to the verge of financial collapse.
Well, and you talk about, you know, obviously a lot of the components of it, the industrial base vanishing, you know, taking those jobs with it, our education system, our infrastructure, and obviously the political system itself being broken.
Exactly. That's really the key, that because the political system is broken, because of the rise of special interests and the way they can buy public policy, it's really very hard for our system to produce the kind of big, bold solutions that we need. So as a result, we have our infrastructure crumbling. What happened in San Bruno is not an accident. It was going to happen, and it can be, unfortunately, repeated again and again if we don't do anything about our water pipes, our electric pipes, our sewers, our bridges. But, you know, in the end, Stephanie, Section 5, as I told you, if you're too busy to read the whole book, just read Section 5 because it's about solutions.
Well, I was going to get to that because you know me, I'm a happy, clappy liberal. But
I don't want you to get too depressed.
But before we get to that, you know, what I also love about you is, you know, you point fingers, you name names, you detail who is killing the American dream, like you did in the last Pigs of the Trough, your last book. So name names for us.
Well, first of all, this is not just a partisan killing. You know, it's been both Republicans and Democrats. Republicans have been leading the way. But look at what happened. You know, Obama won, and then he put in charge of his economic policy Larry Summers, who basically has a view of the world that is completely Wall Street-centric. You know, he's a brilliant man. But he completely underestimated the crisis that the middle class is going through. So they really did believe, Stephanie, that their policies would bring down unemployment and turn things around, and they haven't. But the reason they believed it is because they thought once they could save Wall Street and get Wall Street out of trouble, the rest would follow. And we've seen that the two economies are not really that connected anymore. And Wall Street can be doing very well, thank you, while Main Street is suffering. In fact, right. One of the proposals that I have in the book is that we move our money, from the big banks that got bailed out, but did not return the favor by investing in small businesses to create jobs. Instead, they cut lending to the tune of $100 billion. So I said, let's just take our money and move it into smaller community banks, credit unions, that are much more likely to reinvest in their communities and treat people like human beings.
Right. Okay. So, because you know me, I like the happy, clappy solutions, because we're not just completely screwed, right? I mean, what are the other solutions in the book?
Well, that's the point. I mean, the reason to sound the alarm now is because there is still time to avoid the iceberg.
Right.
And actually, the solution starts from the personal. The first thing is that we need to tap into our own strength and resilience, because there are people who are being crushed by the loss of jobs or loss of homes. And we need to just help each other as much as possible, find that strength that people do have in difficult times.
Well, you say that's in our DNA, which is true. It's in our, that can-do attitude is part of America's DNA.
Exactly. So that's why we need to tell the stories of the people who've done that, who have turned things around in their lives. And that's why I focus on the stories. And often, if we do something for others, especially in the worst times in our lives, it helps us see ourselves not as victims of circumstances, but as people who can make a difference.
Let's talk about the midterms, because, you know, you were on Bill Maher this week, which you were terrific as usual. But, you know, Bill did a list, you heard, you know, of all the president's accomplishments. Where is this, if there is an enthusiasm gap, where is that coming from? Because as you point out, the president is hardly the socialist that they try to, you know, that they try to cast him as.
No, absolutely. But, you know, what I say in the book is that although the president did a lot of things, by underestimating the nature of the problem, he did not do enough to really get us out of the mess we are in. And Lloyd George, you know, the English prime minister, said once that we cannot jump across a chasm in two leaps. And in a sense, that's what the president tried to do, a stimulus bill that did not take us all the way. And therefore, the other side has been able to use it to undermine what government can do. They're using it as an example of government not working instead of an inadequate solution by government.
Right. But, I mean, Ariana, don't you agree? I mean, most economists still credit the stimulus with creating 3.3 million jobs or so, and that the unemployment rate would have been even higher.
Absolutely. Were it not for the stimulus, we would have been much worse off. But the problem right now is that while people are hurting the way they are, you know, people in their 40s and 50s losing their jobs and not being able to get another one, people graduating from college not being able to get a job, while they're hurting, it's a hard campaign rallying cry to say, times suck, but it could have been worse.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. Right? You're right. It's hard to run on 9% or whatever unemployment. Saying,
yeah, it's hard to run on the message that things could have been worse.
Well, but I mean, I think that, once again, it is provable that this is unprecedented obstructionism that the president has been up against and still gotten, I'd say, quite a list of things done, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is really what is so tragic now, Stephanie, that we have basically inadequate solutions from the Democrats and laughable solutions from the Republicans.
Right.
We really have no solutions at all. I mean, they just are basically acting as if going back to the very policies that got us where we are will solve the problem. But we need to have a clear narrative, and that's what's missing. When the president created a deficit commission instead of a jobs commission, that was a major problem because he bought into the Republican narrative. The main problem in this country is not the deficit.
Right.
And there's no way we're ever going to solve the deficit if we don't grow the economy again.
Right.
And we're not going to be able to grow the economy if we don't do really significant bold things around jobs. I would bring the same kind of urgency that we had around the financial crisis when everybody, all the wise men of the country, came together and said, we can't let that happen. We need to throw everything against the wall to prevent it. And they did. We need to do the same around jobs. The Republicans want a payroll tax holiday. Let's have it. The Democrats want bold infrastructure projects. Let's have them. We just cannot afford to have this lackadaisical attitude to the major jobs crisis we are facing. And that's really, in the end, what the president and the Democrats are going to be judged on.
Right. Well, and as Jim often points out, I mean, this deficit, a lot of it is that, we put the wars on the books. So it's not like he created that deficit. George Bush, gave it to us.
But, Obama is continuing the Afghanistan war.
Yeah.
$2.6 billion a week.
Yeah.
If we could bring $2.6 billion a week at home, think of the kind of nation building we could do right here.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call Afghanistan the Soviet Union's Vietnam. Now it's our, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's come full circle.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. See, you and I probably differ on that because I'm thrilled we're out of Iraq and I'm willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt on Afghanistan. But I understand your point of view on it.
Well, my problem is that we are propping up a corrupt regime with a deranged leader. We are losing hearts and minds because our policies inadvertently kill civilians, mm-hmm. while the Chinese are spending billions of dollars mining the Afghani precious mineral resources and using it to build their economy. We are acting like a declining empire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what declining empires do. They do they pursue military adventures they cannot afford. It's almost like the hallmark of a declining empire.
Well, the good news about the book is it has, it identifies the problems for those of you glass half empty people, and for people like me, the glass half full, it gives you solutions. It's called Third World America, How Our Politicians Are Abandoning the Middle Class and Betraying the American Dream. Arianna Huffington. Also, I hear you have a little blog called Huffington Post.
And also, Stephanie, tomorrow night we're having meetups around the country around solutions just for happy people like you.
Oh, good.
So anybody who wants to, they can go on the Huffington Post, the Third World America section, HuffingtonPost.com/Third World America, and find out about our meetups, and either they can have their own gatherings or join us from their laptops and discuss nothing but solutions. Nothing depressing, only solutions.
All right. Happy Clappy Liberal Club. All right. Thank you, Arianna. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
All right,
thank
honey.
You.
All right. There she goes.
I love how with her Greek accent it sounds like she's talking about big, bald solutions. We need bold ones, but big, bald ones would be good, too. We need more big balls.
We always get in that little Afghanistan spat. Remember, we got on that on the Joy Behar show a couple of... Mm-hmm. Stephanie, we don't have to. Just because we bought the doesn't mean we'll have to support him in everything in Afghanistan. We should get out. Nice. So she was pretty much the same. Yeah.
If we disagree with the president, we don't have to
go
along with everything. Right.
You're not allowed to disagree with the president.
All right.
Shut up.
18 minutes.
I want my unicorn that farts glitter.
I'll never forget a few years ago. She said, I have a little blog. And I'm like, oh, that's never going to go anywhere.
Ah.
My laser-like understanding of the interwebs.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ain't that America, home of the free, yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. By the way, John Mellencamp, the official male rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
So I'm guessing that is authorized for us to use it. It is not authorized for the gay bashing National Organization for Marriage.
Computer says no.
To which he has sent a cease and desist.
Oh, good.
Yes, the so-called National Organization for Marriage doesn't receive permission to use any of the music they play at their little public gay bashing rallies.
Hmm.
If they had asked permission, they would know the artists whose works they're co-opting want nothing to do with them or their bigoted anti-equality campaigns. John Mellencamp was not happy about their use of Little Pink Houses. At a rally in Madison, Wisconsin, not only had they not received permission to use the recording, but he does not want his music associated. They sent a letter saying, John Mellencamp, who has become aware that his music, Pink Houses, has been used at events sponsored by your organization. Please be aware Mr. Mellencamp's views on same-sex marriage and equal rights for people of all sexual orientations are at odds with NOM's stated agenda. Thank you, John.
Nom, nom, nom.
Bruce Springsteen did the same with Born in the USA.
I know.
Didn't want Reagan playing it.
And speaking of official rock stars of the Stephanie Miller Show,
yes.
The official female rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show is going to be on tomorrow.
I see that here. Melissa Etheridge on the big show tomorrow, along with Hump Days with Hal Sparks, Carl Frisch of Media Matters. Why?
That's one thing I learned from Space Ghost. Tease, tease, tease.
By the way, as if the president is not, like, taking enough from everybody, guess who he's getting from now?
Who?
The dog whisperer, Cesar Millan.
Who's going to be on the show next week?
Because there's a picture of the president walking Bo, and it looks like Bo is sort of dragging him a little bit.
Well, that's what your dogs do to you.
Please. Mine's like the Iditarod.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I survive it. It's like the chariot scene in Ben-Hur every time I go for a hike. Americans who allow their dogs to walk them is one of his biggest peeves, said Leslie Stahl. If your dog doesn't learn how to follow you, you'll never have a disciplined pet.
Hmm.
Oh, by the way, I'll talk to Caesar about my potty training techniques, whereby I pee in my own yard, so that my puppies, they understand, and they get it. They get like a
mommy. Really think...
Like mommy! Like mommy, like this! Susie and Chandler write, Steph, does the puppy get confused learning how to tickle its butt? Yes, it actually does, because dogs don't really have... They're kind of.
Or do you just have the dog lick your butt, and that serves as the tickle?
No! Tickling. Stop it!
Well...
Don't make this into something dirty.
Okay.
Something beautiful and parental.
Yeah.
And you made it all bad and wrong.
As long as you don't breastfeed the dog, we're fine.
Did you see Comedy Central's Night of Too Many Stars? Jon Stewart played host in New York this past Saturday night.
I don't think it's aired yet. I think they taped it this week.
Everybody took shots at Rick Sanchez, yeah. Which is kind of hilarious. Correspondent John Oliver said the jokes at his expense were never based on his Hispanic heritage. Like
right.
He said, the only issue is he's a meathead doofus.
Yeah. Exactly.
He did frequently get facts wrong.
Like yes.
He wondered aloud how there could be volcanoes in Iceland when it's so cold there. Like, come on, dude.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I mean, that's a Stephanie Miller mistake.
Hey, Squeezy. Snooki was offered a job in porn. Oh, no.
Maybe 20 years ago. But
She's been offered $100,000 for a three-year just a spokesperson role, not a nude role.
Porn has
flesh drive.
Porn has spokespeople?
They want her to perform a non-sexual role as the face of the company.
Hmm.
Her little orange Oompa Loompa face. So,
whatever.
Good for them.
Hmm.
You know who does like to get nude? Jim, tell me if this is a guy thing. Enrique Iglesias likes to get naked with his friends. He said, I have five good friends and one of them is an exhibitionist, so I think we all follow him. Whenever he gets naked, we all get naked and do stupid things.
Okay. In a manly sort of way, you know.
I just didn't know if that's sort of a straight dude thing, whether you do that sort of thing or not.
No.
Hmm. Okay. Just saying. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Say, you know, I'm a little bit discouraged here in Wisconsin, but I've been out putting up signs for the Democrats, and I'll tell you what, it looks good from that point of view. I think the media is trying to get us all, but I wanted to say this about our movement. It's not going to take a day or a week, and if we want to be more than the Tea Party, it has to be more than just one grunt and move on. It's time to rock the vote.
Yep. And Jim was saying that Rachel Maddow did a great piece about how the enthusiasm gap is imaginary. It's another media storyline. Don't buy it. 29 minutes after the hour, Paul Poundstone, comedian extraordinaire, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
No offense, but you don't exactly know what you're talking about. I mean, you're not exactly a fountain of political knowledge yourself.
It is, but I got fart jokes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. It's not like I'm a real comedian. Jim, did you see the hilarious picture in the L.A. Times this weekend of the ice house? It was like an original picture. It had Rosie O'Donnell.
In Pasadena?
Yes. Oh. Rosie O'Donnell from however many years ago. Rosie O'Donnell, Jerry Seinfeld, Ellen DeGeneres, Paula Poundstone, all the comedy legends.
Wow.
And Paula Poundstone, being the Dick Clark of female comedians, she looks exactly the same. It's eerie. Good morning, Paula Poundstone.
Good morning. I don't know if I was just looking older than the others in that picture that day. You know what I mean?
No.
Because,
No, you look exactly the same. But
not if you look really close up, but don't. Who would? For what reason? You know, I got a letter a couple weeks ago from a guy in prison, and sometimes you get letters from guys in prison, but he said, all right, for purposes of the story,
yes.
His name was Stephen Lee Jones.
Okay.
And he said, it really got right to it in the first paragraph. He said, I'll just cut right to the chase. I want to be with you.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, well, Stephen Lee, I don't know if you've committed a crime big enough to really deserve that. At first, there was a brief moment where I actually felt flattered. And then I thought about it. I thought, you know what? Stephen Lee's in prison. He would like to be anywhere.
Right.
Exactly. He'd like to be with anybody but his cellmate.
So, you know, suddenly I didn't feel as selected.
As special, yeah.
But honestly, there are days where I go, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to be with me, for heaven's sakes.
You know, it's funny you should bring this up, because right next to me, Jim was just looking. I got a package that looks like it could be from prison, and what does it say, Jim? It's moisture-proof.
Yeah, the envelope is moisture-resistant.
And we're not sure why that would...
I'm not sure why that would be important.
Yes, but I don't think I want to open it and find out. You know what I'm saying?
Huh.
Mm.
It's for the prison in Atlantis.
And I don't know if you've got these, I sometimes get guys asking for a new picture because their old one is dirty. And so that's also a little, yeah.
I never get that. I certainly do not.
Paula Poundstone, you're going to be at the Ice House 50th anniversary at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium this Sunday, correct?
Because when I give someone a picture, I give them laminate. Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. This is may I just say, the word extravaganza may be overused. However, it will feature you, Jay Leno, Brad Garrett, Dana Carvey, George Wallace. It really is a star-studded event.
Well, 50 years. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It really is.
And it's a great little club.
It is.
You know, I've always loved going there.
I've played there in my sad, pathetic, little truncated comedy career as well.
Yeah, a sad, pathetic, truncated little comedy career.
Sure it is. But, just that picture in the L.A. Times was hilarious. I mean, how many, that was like all at the same time. You guys were all working at the Ice House together, you and Rosie and Ellen and Jerry Seinfeld. And I mean, it really was heady times comedy-wise.
You know what? They were really, I refer to that period, those years as the comedy renaissance because stand-up comedy, goes back, as far as mankind, I'm sure.
Right.
But there were those years in the, in the 80s where really Robin Williams in particular, to reinvigorated people's interest in the art form, if I can.
Right.
And, so there really were fun years. And we did, we did crash into one another, pretty frequently back then.
Well,
I'm just a lonely woman on the road. Now, I never see anyone else except the audience members, which is very, very nice.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm just out there. Every now and then I'll hear the name of an old coworker.
The Ice House in particular, I mean, if you go there, it's also the generation before you guys that recorded there. Lily Tomlin and the Smothers Brothers, right? And Letterman, Bob
great?
Newhart. Yeah.
Yeah, I always do feel like I'm standing on hallowed wood. In the last several years, anyways, they've put up a spectacular backdrop of the Pasadena skyline.
Oh.
I know that terrorists often seek iconic buildings.
Yes.
We're told that they will, anyway, seek iconic buildings in order to really hit us where we live. And let me just say, Pasadena, you are safe as can be. You look at that Pasadena skyline and you go, yeah.
By the way.
This is what brings people out here after every Super Bowl or whatever it is they watch.
Yeah, someone's going to blow up that fake Pasadena skyline one of these days.
Right.
Now,
it's really what the insurgents are after.
Now, Paul, we've had a terror alert in recent days of Sunday. Now, what do you do differently when there's a terror alert? Is there any way that you curtail your activities or what?
I'm having this conversation right now from an undisclosed location.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's in the first place.
Yes.
That's really because my son frightens me. the only way, we do things. So I didn't even know we had a terror alert today. I know that we were cautioned, Americans were cautioned to be on the alert when they go to Europe. By the State Department. Now, they were told we should still go to Europe if we were planning on going to Europe, but just be on edge.
Just be nervous the whole time and don't enjoy it.
You know, really, no vacation can really be, relaxing.
I have to say,
ahead of time about the potential of terrorist activity. That, to me, that says we can get away.
You know, I have to tell you, anytime I go anywhere on a plane, I hear your routine in my head about the people on the left side of the plane getting to see...
I hate the people on the left side.
Yes, they get to see way better stuff than the people on the right side of the plane.
It's true. They talk in the microphone. The pilot will come on and say, people on the left, there's the Grand Canyon out there. And I always think to myself, how do they get on just one side of the plane, first of all? Aren't we up high? Could you see it from above? And I've never seen anything they pointed out ever, anyways. And so I have to assume that there's, some form of favoritism going on.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that commercial where the one kid gets ice cream and the other kid doesn't. It really does create division on the plane. It creates jealousy and competition.
Oh, yeah. Well, the pilot, I've heard the pilot whisper before, we hate the people on the right. You people on the left, you don't have to put your tray tables up if you don't want to. Forget them over there. God,
exactly.
I hate them. Yeah.
What do you think? We've talked politics a little bit before. These Tea Party candidates are sort of like comedy creations, aren't they?
Well, yes. And here's what was really making me angry for a while, because, we love to talk about anger in politics.
Yes,
nowadays.
Of course.
Here's what was really making me angry, is when all the pundits kept saying, even my favorite, Mark Shields from McNeil Air, kept saying, well, the anger is real. Anger is real. It can also be chemically based. What do you mean the anger is real? I'm pissed every day about all sorts of things, little annoyances that come up. It doesn't mean I take my poster paints and denounce the government. I don't know. One thing I was relieved to hear, because, the great thing about America is there's going to be a wide spectrum of opinion on many, many topics, and the great challenge that we have is, fitting that together so that we can function with some amount of unity. Some people will believe in the antics of the Tea Party and some will not. But apparently, tea companies are actually now changing their name to bags with leaves in them that steep in water.
This Christine O'Donnell, what was her latest thing?
Is she the witch?
She's the witch from Delaware.
Man.
She's Samantha.
Yeah.
And, not only did she say she heard the audible voice of God talk to her during the primaries. Yes.
She heard it during the primaries?
Yes. But
she heard George Burns.
Yes.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
It might have been George Burns.
Yes. Now I think she also said recently that China is going to take us over because she has privy to classified information that no one else does.
I'm sure she does.
China is going to take us over?
Yes.
Oh, man. Does she know when?
We need to plan this out.
Yeah.
An hour later, they'll be hungry for another country.
Frankly, I want to care for my family, and I'm happy to switch sides if I have to. So if it's a matter of sucking up to the Chinese, I'll do what I have to do.
You're happy to do that.
I'm not happy to do it, but I will do it. I have no loyalty to anybody at this point. So she says she heard the audible voice of God. She said that?
Yes.
But when did she say that she heard it?
Well, you know, in my opinion, God doesn't really pay attention until the general election, like the rest of us. But she says that he was very involved in the Delaware primary.
Really? Because if she heard it on the same day that I heard it, I mean, it was just a trash truck out back.
Now, speaking of your family, how many children do you have now? It's like the Waltons over there, isn't it?
No, it's so not like the Waltons, and that's really what my problem is, by the way. You just nailed it. You just so happen, innocently, to wander in to a very true thing, which is I happen to have the series of the Waltons on videotape.
Wow.
And I think, although I don't watch it, I just have it. But because I think that one of the frustrations that I feel in life is that my life is nothing like that of the Waltons.
Really? There's no saying goodnight? There's no yelling goodnights across the... goodnight,
oh,
John. Goodnight, Mary Ellen.
There's plenty of yelling. I asked my daughter to come help me make dinner last night, and she was stomping around the kitchen as if this is a 19-year-old, as if this was the most outrageous request. You know, and I just...
Can you give timeouts?
Like Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen never did that.
Can you give timeouts at 19, or is that ship sailed?
I do. I'll tell you something. One of the problems is my oldest daughter is not college-bound. And, you know, when you have a daughter that's not college-bound, I don't know how you know when they are leaving. There's no date. Do you know what I mean?
There's no checkout date. Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult for all parties. I really do. I mean, I think a lot of times when parents send their kids to college, it's not even because they think, oh, they're going to do well in college or, oh, this will be a great move for them. It's because somewhere in July or August, a manila envelope comes in the mail.
Yes.
That says you're leaving on blah, blah, blah day and bring sheets.
Yeah. Right, and that's how you know there's an outdate. Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, I really don't know how you pick that day. You know, the transition is a little bit slow.
Well, maybe you should just send her a manila envelope of some kind, with some instructions.
I'm thinking of starting a company that provides that service to families of children that are not who are not college bound, which is just sending that envelope and saying bring milk cartons, because that's big. I know.
Paula Poundstone, one of the funniest women alive, at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. On this Sunday, October 10th, at the Ice House 50th anniversary. Paul, always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. It was really nice talking to you, and congratulations, Ice House.
Oh, thank you. All right, Paula. Bye, honey. There she goes.
Paul.
What would we do without envelopes? We would not know what to do with our lives. I think she would make a fortune at that.
Mm-hmm.
46 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's going to be good in tomorrow, I can tell.
Why?
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yep.
Carl Fisher, Media Matters, and Melissa Etheridge.
Holy cow.
Official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
Tim in Los Angeles. Hi, Tim.
How are you guys?
Hi, go ahead.
Listen, is it just me, or has there been an entire media blackout of the One Nation rally?
Yes.
Yep.
We've been saying that.
Not one major news network, not one,
yep,
for the entire time. Yet we can listen to Glenn Beck for an entire week pretend to be God's personal secretary. What is going on? What is happening? Is
well, it's that enthusiasm gap that they've created.
It's that enthusiasm gap that's such a non-story. All right, let's dive into the right-wing
Why should
world.
We cover it? There's no enthusiasm there, so it doesn't exist.
It's just an actual picture of the president unaltered that says, respect my president. What's newsworthy about that?
Come on, about fireworks. Boring.
There's no bone in his nose. Why would we cover that?
Not even a Hitler mustache.
Not even a watermelon people.
Where are the Satan horns? Okay, Glenn Beck on the radio.
If you are a grandparent, get out of retirement.
Get out.
Please.
Get out.
If you can, homeschool your grandchildren, please do it.
Oh, great.
If you can get the kids out of preschool, Please do it. If the world goes into chaos, who will be there to relight the flame of liberty?
Ooh, the flame.
Oh, my God.
Light the flame of liberty.
See what you make me listen to every day?
I'm not sure that grandparent thing is a good idea. Did you guys see that hilarious clip of C-SPAN yesterday morning, the 90-year-old woman?
No.
There's one of the hosts is a black guy, and the woman calls in. It's on the Republican line. Mm-hmm. She goes, I'm 90, and I'd like to speak to the colored fella. Why are the coloreds talking about slavery when we should be they should be talking about everything we've given them?
Wow.
The colored fella?
Mm-hmm. Why are the coloreds want to talk about slavery? We should talk about all the good things we've done for them. All the welfare and the whatever. And here's a woman you know is on friggin'
wow.
Medicare and
yeah,
Social
sure,
Security.
Right.
Shut up, you old bat.
Wow.
Why are the coloreds talking? Can I talk to the colored, please?
Oh, my
Yeah, that's who
God.
We want homeschooling yeah. our kids.
Who let the colored on my TV?
Grandparents, tell your children and your grandchildren what we've done for the colored people.
Yeah, we should, and they should also, like Pat Buchanan says, thank us for the nice boat ride over here, I guess, in addition. All the stuff we've given them.
Keep your children stupid, because otherwise they'll never listen to me.
To me. Monica Crowley.
I have this vision of Barack Obama sitting Howard Hughes-like in a dark room in the White House late at night, mm-hmm. wrapped in a ratty bathrobe, watching endless reels of the 2008 campaign saying, how did we do it? How can we recapture that magic?
Well, I have an image of you with a ball gag in your mouth, but that's just me.
Jim Louise Ward!
You know, to shut her up.
Oh, yeah.
Or something. Shut her up. Okay, Ed Rollins.
The speaker today, a New York Times piece, talked about taking the gloves off and really getting aggressive and going down and dirty in these campaigns. What surprises me about that is Democrats have bragged about all the things that they've done to the American
yes.
public,
yes.
and obviously that hasn't worked. So I think they're going back to the old attack themes. They've talked about opposition research going down and doing the kinds of things that Ms. McMahon was accused of there. And at the end of the day, it's not a very honorable way to try and hold a majority. And I think what happens is when you throw spitballs late, oftentimes the negatives come back on your own side.
Is that going negative? Is implying that there might be something a tad bit sleazy about professional wrestling?
Yes.
She
might have worked with Girls Gone Wild.
All right, Rush Limbaugh.
We were supposed to be in a post-racial, post-partisan America, mm-hmm. all singing kumbaya. Can't we all get along? Mm-hmm. I would venture to say,
who could be stopping
ladies
that?
And gentlemen, that I have done more to reach across the aisle and to bring people together than Obama ever has, and he's not even trying
wow.
to.
Wow.
What? Who does he think is buying that?
His listeners.
Oh, yeah. He's a uniter, that guy, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry, Jim. It's the second helping of Glenn Beck.
This isn't about the Democrats. This
no.
is the far left.
Yes.
Far left. America.
Far left.
You're not up against the Democrats. Democrats. You're not up against the Republicans. You're up against these people. Mm-hmm. And the good news is, you surround them. You have to decide. Does it matter that our president and our Congress is running our country with the advice and the counsel and the aid of support?
George Soros?
Of the Communist Party.
God,
US.
Oh, the Communist Party.
Does I say yes.
Does he have a list? Do you have a list?
Because there was a picture of a guy with a sign, at whom I paid, to, with the Communist Party. It's the Communists.
You would think he would have a list with our names on him if he had
a list
that.
Of 2 million Communists who are in the Congress.
No, you can't see it. Of course you can't see it. Hmm. Only I can see it.
Just
I need
like,
the special
just
glasses
like
to
only
see.
Christine O'Donnell can see classified information
right.
about the Chinese takeover of the United States. Charles Krauthammer.
Wow.
We saw the president with his sleeves rolled up, and you know he's gone from hope and change to fear and loathing, which is essentially what's going to be the theme of the Democrats. If you don't elect us, re-elect us, the trolloglites will come into Washington
what?
And rule the country. That's everybody does that. If you're on the losing end of an election, you try to scare the base. I'm not sure how effective it'll be.
Wow, Tom Brokaw needs to do a story on that. Who's
trolloglites.
Taking, who's taking us over? The troglodytes.
That's all of that.
Yeah, he totally botched that one. It's troglodyte.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
I thought he said trollop dykes, which I, you know, I mean,
which is totally different.
Right, that's a completely different thing.
Think of a different color entirely.
Might have been a few of those
at
your party.
That video,
actually.
Actually, I was probably rubbing up against a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yes, I rubbed up against a lot of beautiful lesbians at Stephanie's party.
You go to San Francisco, there's a lot of trolley dykes up there.
Yeah.
Dykes on the trolley. I don't know. I don't understand what the hell we're talking about now. All right. Here's...
Wow.
By the way, here's what we will get if we get these Tea Party clowns in. Just two stories. We're gonna run out of time. But Joe Miller thinks the minimum wage is one of the long list of things that are unconstitutional.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that story last night. The Tennessee County's conservative subscription-based firefighters just stood there and watched as a guy's house burned down because he didn't pay the $75.
On top of his taxes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. The taxes are supposed to pay for the fire department.
Yeah.
Libertarian nirvana.
Right.
You have to pay the fire department or else.
To pay right then. It was something he just had forgotten or whatever. Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. And they wouldn't. They just waited till it went to the neighbor's house who had paid the fee, and then they put
that
fire
out. So perfect.
Down. There you go. Tea Party America.
There you go.
That's it for us.
Rick, you got it.
I'd like to thank Chris and the boy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.